hearing in case number 2040448, U-Stop Pump and Wash, LLC. The matter before the court is the United States Trustee's objection to designating debtor as a sub... I'm sorry, let me try that again. The United States Trustee's objection to the designation of this case as a subchapter B case. Assistant United States Trustee Jim Snyder appeared, acting United States Trustee Jim Snyder appears, and Claire Gillard appears for debtor. Mr. Snyder, where are we on this one?
Your Honor, we are ready for the court to make a ruling. I don't believe there's any way to settle it. Mr. Gary has his position, and we have ours, and they are diametrically opposed.
Mr. Gary would allege that debtor was in negotiations to enter into a lease of a portion of the premises prior to the filing of the petition, and that lease has subsequently been signed. Do you dispute that, or are there other facts or evidence that you want me to consider?
I dispute the nature as described by Mr. Gary, Your Honor. That lease is with the president's husband. It's with a family member. He had leased property at another location. He lost his lease at that location and post-petition moved into the property at the debtor's location. I guess I can test how much negotiation was going on between the parties. And I do note, Your Honor, that this lease issue arose after the Subchapter 5 trustee had alerted Mr. Gary to the decision by the court out of Missouri. So I do contest that part of it, Your Honor. Beyond that, there is a lease in place, and I believe the debtor has received the first payment on that, but we haven't received monthly reports yet.
Okay. Mr. Gary?
I did not talk to debtors about the case that was decided, but the trustee pointed out to me, as noted by the U.S. trustee, assisting you.
Acting,
thank you. I couldn't think of the word. Acting U.S. trustee, the negotiations, it is with debtor's spouse, but he did lose his lease prior to the filing date, and they contacted me and said they were doing this. So I guess if that one day those negotiations count, I suppose I better get more clarification on that. I thought it was kind of more all the case law that I was reading. Basically, I didn't think it looked at one particular day. It looked more at intent as far as all the case law that says they have to be engaged in business. The cases all say in those particular circumstances, there was no intent to ever engage in business. On the railroad case and the healthcare case cited by the trustee, those were all past tense. They'd abandoned and had no intent to continue. The Thurman case attached to the U.S. trustee's objection. Thurman ceased operating, sold assets months earlier, retired, had no intent to continue in the business. I guess one example would be I thought the farmer example in the Tart case was a good example, but even consider a single-member law firm if there was a health issue and they had to cease operations for a few months, never intended to abandon it, but needed the bankruptcy protection to be able to continue its business. The fact that they weren't practicing the particular day they filed would prevent them from what I believe the SBRA intent is, and that is a liberal construction to reorganize a small business and to keep small businesses in operation. I think the bigger issue here is, does one day actually count? If it does, I probably need more specifics on exactly what day they started negotiating for the lease. They're the ones that contacted me and said, here's what they were doing.
Well, here's my problem. I think the majority interpretation of Section 1182 ignores the plain language of the code. To me, engaged in means presently engaged in a commercial or business activity. It doesn't mean, and as you point out in the Thurman case, the debtors had ceased operating and sold their assets months before. So I am inclined to agree with the Thurman case that the plain language of Section 1182 requires the debtor be engaged in a commercial or business activity on the petition date. I don't interpret engaged in a commercial or business activity necessarily means that the attorney who is ill on the day of the filing is not engaged in a commercial or business activity. Clearly, there's an ongoing business there, and there has been activity in a commercial or business of a commercial or business nature throughout the time of the business. My problem is that if I'm willing to accept that negotiations for entering into a lease of a portion of the premises is a commercial or business activity, and so that doing that means to me that debtor was engaged in a commercial or business activity on the petition date. But my problem, I've listed three problems now. My third problem, I guess, Mr. Schneider, is if you're challenging that, we're going to need to flesh out a record. Because to me, a lease is a business activity. I don't know necessarily that the fact that it was to an insider is disqualifying. And I'm wondering, this is about as far as I would be willing to go in terms of defining commercial or business activity, but it doesn't say that they are conducting business. It says engaged in a commercial or business activity. And I think a lease probably qualifies, or negotiating for a lease and clearly entered into it. But if you're challenging the timing, I don't have anything in front of me to find that. That would be disqualifying. So I guess the ball is in your court. I'm sorry, go ahead, Mr. Schneider.
And I apologize, Your Honor. I didn't mean to interrupt. I don't have that information either, Your Honor. That issue was raised as part of the defense. I knew that they had entered into the lease, but the issue of it being negotiated pre-petition had never come up prior to the debtor filing the objection. I don't have that.
Do you want an opportunity to flesh out the record? Do you want to conduct discovery? I would certainly afford you that opportunity. But is this the fight you want to fight, I guess, is what you need to decide.
Right. Is this the hill I want to die on?
Not die, maybe a flesh wound, but if it's any consolation, I'm clearly going to adopt the minority view in terms of the interpretation and application of 1182. I just don't know that I have a record in front of me to suggest that even in the minority view, the debtor would not qualify.
And, Your Honor, that's fine. I think more important to me was to enforce the terms of the statute as we believe Congress intended it to be. We believe the minority view is the correct interpretation. If the court is finding that the debtor presented sufficient information that it was engaged in a business activity because it was negotiating for a lease at the time of filing, I'm not going to spend a bunch of my time and a bunch of the debtor's money to fight on that issue with Mr. Gary, Your Honor.
Okay. Well, to be clear, I agree that the minority view, the so-called minority review is the correct interpretation of Section 1182, and I would adopt that view and apply it going forward. I don't have evidence. I have a representation that debtor was engaged in negotiations for a lease, and I do find that such negotiations would constitute commercial or business activity. But if you want to make Mr. Geary create a record, we can have an evidentiary hearing, but if that's, I consider that something along the lines of an offer of proof. And if you don't wish to challenge that, then I'm going to overrule the objection. But if you wish to challenge that offer of proof, so to speak, I will absolutely afford you the opportunity to do so.
I appreciate that, Your Honor. I'll be honest here, Your Honor. The only way I would be able to do that, we would have an evidentiary hearing. I would ask the debtors when they begin the negotiation, and their testimony would be before pre-petition. And I would have no way to challenge that, particularly in light of the fact that this is an inter-family negotiation. So it wasn't like they got their attorneys together or they submitted documents to be exchanged at some time that we could actually define. I'm going to accept the offer of proof, Your Honor, and not challenge with evidentiary here.
Okay. Well, to be clear, this is about as far as I'd be willing to go, because this is at the very minimal level of commercial or business activity. But I think there's also, at least an inference from their efforts to reorganize and the representation that they're going to stock they're going to capitalize the company to stock it and get it running. This isn't a case where they've, in essence, given up the ghost as the debtor did in Thurman. So I think it is, like I say, it's just over the line of commercial and business activity, and for the purposes of the hearing, and with what I view Mr. Snyder's gracious acceptance of the offer of proof, as I called it, I am going to overrule the objection, and may continue in the case as a subchapter B small business case. And next up is confirmation, and we'll see how we do there. Thank you both, and I think that's all I need for right now.
Thank you.
Goodbye now.
Thank you, Your Honor.